And every single one of those spiritual cleansings is a salvation, because Jesus is the only one that can do anything with that. So it always revolves around Jesus and salvation, because he's the only one that can take place. So we went to this big National Exhibition Center, like I told you. And what happened is we had met them and went into this fair. And to be honest, I was overwhelmed. I mean, there's all kinds of horrible, diabolical stuff. Absolutely shocked me, like full-on levitation, full-on witchcraft chants, just unbelievable stuff for this sheltered girl to see, right? Anyway, went in and talked to her. And then the next year, she had signed up to do it again, and she called to say, I have a conflict, and I can't do it. Would you take my stall? I've paid for it, so it's all paid in full. It was a 2-meter by 3-meter stall. So how much would that, how long is that table? How many?
2 meters.
Okay, so 2 meters by 3 meters, and that was how big our spirit cafe was going to be. 1,500 pounds. So what, $2,000, $2,200, something like that. And so we asked the week before, is there any way we could extend that? And so we did. We bought a double one. So now it was 2 meters by 6 meters. Still small. Still small. Anyway, in that span of those 3 days, from 10 to 5 every day, we gathered 5 different spirit cafes in England and 11 different churches who participated, which I absolutely love, that we're crossing all of our denominational walls, leading people to Jesus. And we had the privilege to lead 150 people to Jesus in 3 days. I can tell you, you could not peel those people off the wall. Our team was exhausted from leading people to Jesus. They'd be like, I am so tired from leading one person after another, thrilled, but exhausted. And you see, I know. And see, I spent a couple years on a farm. And so I remember what it was like when it was harvest time. And I would remember we would have to run my dad out a coffee thermos and a bag lunch, because harvest didn't stop. I mean, he grew white beans, so it was risky. You had to do it when it was sunny, and you had to get them in before the rain came. And so, you know, often farmers would come over and help each other, because you had this window. My crop isn't quite ready, so I'll help you. You can help me next week. And, you know, that verse in Scripture where Jesus tells them, throw it on the other side, throw your net on the other side. But we've been fishing all night. We've been doing all these great programs. But when the Lord says, do this, and you do it, it's profoundly effective. And they turned to their partners on the sea, the Bible says. Now, I think there were lots of fishermen, but they weren't all their partners. So that's why I believe in relationship and teamwork. To just do something where you can, you know, if I asked Jerome to come and speak at my church, he's not going to get up there and dishonor me. Nor would he try to steal, you know, the sheep that came to Jesus that day. Because we build relationship, we build friends. So that's one of the things that thrilled me about those 11 churches all working together. Because it wasn't about that. And so basically what that worked out to was 20 pounds a soul. Now, I don't mean to be callous or businesslike, but that is my background. So, you know, I did the math. And really, 20 pounds a soul? We had a guy who came into the downtown Toronto one. And he was a Greek man, maybe in his 50s. And he sat down for a reading, and whatever the words were, one was, you know, I can see God building this construction site, like this timber is all being built around you. And somebody else's picture was, you know, this flower that managed to find its way through the concrete. That's you. You're a real survivor. Like, not necessarily Sean Bolt's words, as much as, you know, we hope to go there. But just words of life, right? And so anyway, he says, yeah, that's good. But I have a question for you. Okay, what's your question? If Jesus comes and knocks on my door, what am I supposed to say? And they're like, what? Like, what does that actually have to do with the pictures and words we just gave you? They didn't say that part, but they're thinking it. Like, I don't even understand why he's asking me this question. If Jesus comes and he knocks on the door of my apartment, I need to know what to say. And so my daughter was leading this group, and she's like, do you know that that's a verse in the Bible? And he's like, no, I've never read the Bible ever, never been to church in my life. So she Googled it, because she didn't actually know where it was. She Googles it, Revelation 3:20. If I stand at the door and knock, any man who opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. So they pass it to him and said, here, read this. So he's deliberately reading this out slowly. He's like, right, so that's it? Yep, that's That's all you have to do. Okay. So they lead him, because clearly there's an opening for Jesus, right? And I don't mind telling you, I look for them. I am after the lost. And if I can take them right out of the devil's mouth that night, I'm happy as Larry. So anyway, they led him to Jesus, and he comes over to the social team. So remember I told you it takes a team. So there's the prophetic team. We call them the treatment team, and that's three people. One is the lead chair who leads, introduces everybody, wraps it up a bit at the end, and says, the closer, I find when God says some good stuff to me, it's an opportunity. And they're the ones that would lead them to Jesus or lead them to involve God more in their life, depending on what the treatment was. Anyway, he comes back over to the social team, which has two roles. One, initially, just to make them comfortable. We've never met them before. We don't know them. You have lovely blue eyes. You look like you've been out in the sun recently, been anywhere nice. Just chit-chat, because we don't know them, and they don't know you. And so they need to be comfortable while they're waiting for their treatment. Each treatment is 5 to 10 minutes long. They almost always, in the 4 years we've been doing it, I could count on one hand the number of times we didn't have people come early. All the time. Ken got, when we went to do his training, we went up there to Sunderland. He sat in on the training, and we were having our soaking time before, and he comes in to me 40 minutes early, and he says, Laurie, there's 8 people waiting. And I said, yeah, that's normal. He said, I've never seen that in all my years of ministry. I've never seen the lost, who've never been here before, come early to church looking for something spiritual. Never seen it. I said, I did tell you, though, Ken. He said, I know, but I didn't believe you. I said, well, okay. And that night, they had, I don't know, 5 or 6 people come to Jesus, too, which was amazing and wonderful. But anyway, where was I before I went off on Ken?
Social
team, thank you. So the social team has that interaction just at the beginning, not talking. So what church do you go to? So do you have faith? So do you know Jesus? None of that. Just, hi, have you been here before? It's really nice to meet you. I love your glasses. They're great. You look like such a happy person. Do you live near here? Do you have family? Just chit-chat, because potentially they're waiting anywhere from 10 minutes to 40 minutes for their treatment, because there's always a queue. And so that's their first job. Well, then when they have their treatment, the social team then unpacks it more. So we're thrilled when we see one of them come back with a New Testament. That means it's my opportunity to kind of share with them more. So I like to, if I'm doing that role, I like to share my favorite miracle story. I love to talk about the woman caught in the act of adultery and say, you know, when you read these chapters, by the way, they're not books of the Bible. If you give someone a little New Testament book, they don't know what you mean if you say books. They just know there's chapters in here. So if you read in the chapter of John, you'll read some of the stories and the miracles that Jesus did. And if I were you, I'd just sort of insert my own name into these things and say, would you really do this for me? Is this a testimony of what you would do for me? And just help unpack it a little bit. So back to the story about the Greek man. So he goes to the social table. And in that time, he talks about where he's been. So for the last, this is his story. For the last 2 years, he's been in Dubai on construction projects. And in his flat, in a recurring dream that he has, not every night, but very frequently, Jesus comes to the door of his flat and he knocks on the door. And it's so real that much of the time it wakes him up and he goes to the front door of his flat and opens the door and nobody's standing there. So for 2 years, the Holy Spirit has been preparing this man to find a place where the door is open and he can ask that question. Now, how humbling is that? See, this is not about getting it all right, but it is about getting active. And so I like this model because it's utilizing all the relationships in church. You can build trust. You can utilize different gifts. There's people who really don't want to do any of that. They really love making tea and coffee and just being hospitable. You have intercessors in your church who don't want to do any of this stuff, but they really love to pray. And now intercession is real life, real lifetime. So that night, remember when the Warlock came in? Well, our intercession team, we have like a 15-minute debrief at the end. We gather everybody together, and I purposefully go to representatives of each one of the teams. So, prayer team, what was your highlight tonight? Well, we prayed for this guy. We saw this guy walk in with this big black cape. We knew that we really needed to intercede for what was going on in his life and maybe somebody he brought with him. And the treatment team is like, we saw that guy. That was the guy we think was a warlock. So now they're praying, instead of just praying for, you know, the Christians that are tortured here or for our government or all the things that are worthwhile, they're now praying for the team right then, and they're praying for the people who are walking in right then. So they feel like they're an active part, not just praying for stuff they don't see fruit for. They feel included. I went and did a launch in Powell River. Have you ever been up to Powell River? North of Vancouver. And we talked about doing it all in one room. So it happens in one room for all the accountability reasons. And if you read through the manual, you'll see there's a lot of built-in stuff like that. So there's no, you know, bathroom prophecies. There's no car park stuff. It's all in one room. Everybody's accountable because the risk has gone up for everybody, right? Now we've got Reiki healers and witches that come in. And we do. Not all the time, but we certainly have plenty of them. Anyway, so they come in. And it's all accountable in one thing. And the kitchen team had just redone their kitchen. And they said, well, we don't want to do the coffee and tea out in the open like this. We wanna put it through the hatch. We spent all this money on our kitchen and this new hatch that we've got. And I said, well, I'd really like you to try it my way just for the first night while we do this lunch. And Pam, who was with me, said, look, we brought her all the way up here. You might as well do it her way for one night. And if you don't want to do it after she's gone, well, she'll never know, will she? So fine. So, again, we wrap it all up at the end. We pray for each other, kind of dust each other off. But more than that, just include every section. What was your highlight? What was your highlight? So I said to one of the kitchen ladies who'd really given me grief, I said, so what was your highlight tonight? She said, I felt like we were a part of it. Instead of being stuck in the kitchen, we saw their faces when they walked in and their faces when they walked out. And so it's now a way of kind of getting everybody who wants to be involved in a safe way and where people can grow into more and more gifting should they want to do that. I'm trying to think if there's any other key testimonies. Lovely Anglican lady sat down at the social table, and as you can imagine, we have more stories than we can keep track of, but this Anglican lady was maybe 65, 70, and so I said to her after her treatment, so initially just chatted, then when she came back, wanted to unpack it a bit for her. And I said, so how was it? And she said, well, you know, it was a little bit confusing. And I said, well, what was confusing? Did they say nice things or, you know, what was it? She said, yeah, it was nice things. They told me that God loved me and that he wanted to play with me and just wanted to be a father to me. And I said, and is that strange for you? And she said, well, I've been going to the Anglican Church for the last 50 years, and I'm a really good Anglican. But in all these years of praying, I always thought he would be annoyed with me if I'd done something wrong. So I've kind of lived in this place of fear of him, really. And to find out tonight that he likes me, like, is this true? And so it doesn't have to be rocket science. It doesn't have to be this incredible life-altering word necessarily, but just a genuine encounter with a God who really loves them, with a relevant word for them or a picture or a treatment that's relevant to them, and they can make their decisions on that. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. There's so much more to unpack, but I'll leave it at that for some questions and answers if you have them.
I have one.
Yeah.
You were talking about the different teams.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about social team,
medical
team,
and kitchen team. Yep. So there's social, the treatment team. There's a hostess or a maitre d' role. So, you know, when you go in a restaurant and they seat you at your table, we have that person, and they're actually the administrator. So they keep everything organized. So Josh comes in. Yep. Nice to see you. Is this your first time here? And this is how it works. We'll get you a cup of coffee and you can just sit. And here's a menu. When you decide what you want, then I'll write it on our clipboard. And we just do this first come, first serve. So we'll get you first available and we'll get you into a team. Meanwhile, Josh is now sitting and chatting with the social team, waiting for his turn. So that's the maitre d' or hostess. So social, maitre d'. There's a follow-up team who takes the contact cards. We try to get contact cards, get feedback, get their details, because many of them we have no way of seeing ever again. So we don't harass them, but we remind them of the next Spirit Cafe, or if we have something special on, or if we have a barbecue, or, you know, another way to connect with them. So follow-up, There's an overseer pastoral role, which is often the role that I play, but you need a church leader really to play this part. And the reason for that is they have to know their authority. And so I now realize as the pastor, having some people who are strong in the Lord and some people who are new or weaker in the Lord, all participating, and now I've got some really frontline demonic stuff walking in the door, and I want to protect them. And so I watch what walks in the door. I don't mean who walks in, but what walks in. And that thing knows, I definitely see you. And you get no monkey business here. You're welcome. You're welcome to come and hear from God. But you don't get to sprinkle anything around the room. You don't get to cause any fuss. And so that person knows, and I would know, I have the authority to kick them out if I need to. And so all my team is safe. So I'm watching for the teams. If anybody's overwhelmed, we had a lady just in Halifax last weekend who Shauna called me over. If you guys know Shauna Maxwell. So Shauna called me over and she said, oh, Lori, we've just had a terrible person. This person just went on and on and on about everything negative in their life. And we just feel like we could hardly get a word in, but we just feel so, you know, slimed and deflated already. And so I said, oh, Shauna, it's going to be great. It's only the first person. You just keep going. So you got to kind of cheer your team on a bit. And so anyway, I said, well, look, I'll go talk to this lady for a few minutes as the social team and do some of the pastoral overseer stuff. So I sit with her, and for about 7 or 8 minutes, her and her friend are telling me about their Reiki experiences. And I'm like, I don't show this on the outside. Inside, I'm like, this is boring. I'm not interested in this at all. But on the outside, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, we need an opening here. Looking for an opportunity to unpack this and saying things like, well, you just got to make sure that the source is right. You know, we want to be listening to the Holy Spirit, or it's not a hopeful thing. We're just, you know, getting involved in stuff we don't really know what the source is. Anyway, oh, no, I know the source. So anyway, she somehow says, you know, I had this falling out with my sister. She died 9 years ago, and I had had a fight with her, and I hadn't talked to her actually, she recently died, and I hadn't spoken to her in 9 years. And I said, well, it sounds like maybe there's some forgiveness stuff in your life. And she said, yeah, I need to forgive myself mostly for this. Now the tears are running down her face. Sitting, having another coffee at the social table. And I said, well, would you be okay if I led you in a little prayer? Just lead you. Remember, we do that because they don't know how to pray. Or if they do, it could be all kinds of convoluted journeys. We tend to not let them, because we don't know who they are and what they are, we don't let them lead. We take the lead in these things. But we get their permission. Are you okay if I lead you in a little prayer where we forgive yourself? Yeah, that'd be great. And so we started that, and she's crying, and I said, you know, the only one really who can forgive us is Jesus. He paid so that we could have a way to the Father in spite of our mistakes and the ways that we've hurt ourselves and others. So would you be okay if I included Jesus in this so that Jesus could be part of your life and just really bring some joy and peace to those things? Yeah, fine. Her friend is still sitting there looking at me. And so anyway, led her to Jesus, went and got her a New Testament. Now her face looks different, and she's just chatty Cathy now. And her friend says, well, could I have a Bible? So I took the opportunity to say, yeah, we give Bibles to everybody who just, you know, receives Jesus. And so I just want to remind you of who he is and what he's done for you, and maybe you can pray a prayer kind of like that. She said, yeah, I'll think about that. But I gave her a Bible anyway, and so I call that half a salvation. So if people said to me, how many met Jesus that night? I say 3.5. Because that one counts a little, right? It's on the way. Anyway, I got a chance to go. She wanted another treatment, this lady Sharon, the one who did meet Jesus. And so I got a chance to go over to the team and say, she's just met Jesus, and now she wants whatever it was that she wanted, peace treatment or something. And so at the end, of course, we're all debriefing. And I said, well, my highlight was this woman, Sharon, who Shauna had, you know, blah, 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 and Shauna's just like, it's amazing how it works together as a team. All the responsibility is not just on the prophetic people, nor is it just on the social people, but sometimes it all just works together. And I'm sure Jerome would find that too. Just hundreds of examples. So we've had the privilege of leading hundreds of people to Jesus, but trusting the team. So overseer, hostess or maitre d', social team, prophetic team, follow-up, tea and coffee, intercession. I'd have to look.
It was all on tape.
Yes. Our prayer people are in a different room. Everyone else is in the same room. The reason for that is prayer people can get loud, and we have plenty of loud. So I would encourage you, if you have music in your cafe, that you use non-words. So you can download lots of Christian soaking, Christian instrumental. You can even go on like Christian spa music, stuff like that, which is Christian in its origin, but sounds very ethereal and that kind of thing. So it takes a team.
You mentioned most of the people that you mentioned to are unchurched.
Yep.
So whether you ever have Christians come in?
Yeah, and say, we do. Yeah. We do. And we never turn them away. However, we do have some regulars. And I'm happy to feed the whosoever, but that's not really what I'm fishing for. And so what we tend to say if we have Christians that come in, especially if they're regulars, say, you know, we're very happy to put you on the list, but just to remind you, if we have some visitors come in that if we've not met them before, we're going to bump them ahead of you. So don't be offended, but you know that we're looking for visitors tonight to introduce them to Jesus. And they're fine with that. Thank you so much. They're fine with that. So yes, but that's not who we're going for. More questions?
What kind of a setting? Like obviously, we're going to have six here. Kind of another town.
Mm-hmm.
Something that can certainly be better than the city, I would think.
You know, one thing I've learned is we all try to find sort of the perfect location uptown with a shop front. And in my experience, that's not what most people do, and it's successful. So Pam's, have you been to Pam's?
The church,
not the church. Okay. So the church is kind of at the back of a tiny strip mall, and it's like down and a back and around. And in the winter, it's dark. So they do Saturday afternoons beside this crappy bowling alley. They put signage out front to try to help with that. But believe it or not, these people are so hungry, they'll find you. So my encouragement would be to you, if you actually want to do a spirit cafe, you use what you have till something else is available. So we are in a community of houses. We're not on a high street. We're not in a commercial area at all. Our pub would have been a local pub, and we just put the sign out. For us, we put the sign out the entire week before every day. So free spiritual readings this Friday, 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And we put that white A-board out in the median in between, so people see it all week long. And we have people who, I saw this sign 2 years ago and finally made it in. We also have people that Google spiritual events in the area, so we make good use of Twitter, Facebook pages, community forums. Like we had a guy who came to, we did a relevant meeting called an encounter night, and we tried to model, don't tell anybody, well, we tried to model ourselves after what a spiritualist church meeting would look like, having never been to one, but somebody Googled it. And you know, their church services actually resemble church services. So somebody used to be church. Anyway, they basically have a couple of songs, and then they give their words or their readings from the front to individuals, and they call them up. So we did that. And so we did like one or two old traditional hymns. And then we had our treatment team people, our prophetic people, stand at the front and give the pictures or words that they had and just call them out. Who's that apply to? It always applies, shockingly enough. And this guy, Joel, came, and a couple of the words that night were for him. And, of course, he met Jesus. And then I give just like a five-minute little sermonette about who Jesus is and what this is about, and you can have him in your life. So he prays that prayer and has come through our church. I'm hoping he gets baptized this summer. When we have a baptism back home. But basically, he found us because he Googled spiritual events in Birmingham on that Saturday night. And that's how he came. So there are people so hungry. We've had people that have come 4 hours because you can do a free Eventbrite night. And so we put it on Eventbrite every week or every 2 weeks in our case. So every time we do one, it's a free Eventbrite event. Because unless you charge, you don't have to pay Eventbrite anything. And you can just keep posting them as an Eventbrite event. And you can do postings in doctor's offices. Health food stores are great. Just anything where New Agers would tend to. Coffee shops are great. Just anything where anything New Agey is. And put your stuff there. And they'll come. They do. Over and over and over. We've been doing it for 4 years nonstop. We didn't break for Christmas or summer or anything. And we have probably had 2 or 3 evenings in all that time where no visitors came. All the rest of the time we've had visitors. And it's usually between 15 and 20 people in our building.
How often do you have?
We have two a month. So we do the second and the last Friday of the month. We picked Friday because we used to have renewal meetings, then we had soaking meetings. So it was a night that everybody was kind of used to. And we turn our main hall area. So in our building, we have the bar. The original bar is still there when you walk in. So that's where we do our Spirit Cafe. And then the main hall is behind that where we do church. And so that's where the soaking happens in preparation with our team. But we call that a reflection room on the night of our Spirit Cafe. Because often people are very overwhelmed. They've met Jesus. They've met love for the first time in their life, and they don't know what to do with it. Back at this spiritual fair at the NEC, back to an example about spiritual cleansing, my daughter had this guy sit down who asked for spiritual cleansing. The problem is what he looked like was a little bit disarming. So he had black spiky hair, you know, 6 inches tall, and he had kind of light-colored contact lenses, almost white, and he had had his teeth, his eye teeth, filed like fangs. So basically, he's trying to look like a vampire, and he's sitting in front of her wanting a spiritual cleansing. Well, if you read the spiritual cleansing, do you struggle with guilt and shame from the past? Jesus paid for this, and the way to have it exchanged is to meet Jesus, right? So she's like, I think this guy's got the wrong treatment, she's saying to herself. Never mind preconceived ideas, right? So she says again to him, so you wanted a spiritual cleansing. Well, this is what it is. Is that the treatment that you want? Yep, that's what I want. I want to get rid of my guilt and shame, and I want Jesus to take it for me. See, they have no problem with this. So a good lesson for all of us in what we have judged on the outside just to be rebellion. And it's not. It's actually hunger. But here's the deal. If we don't feed them, then they'll go somewhere else and get other food. And they're eating excrement, what we know to be excrement, because nobody's feeding them anything else. And we have absolutely no right to judge the homosexuals, those who are involved in all of this alternative stuff, unless we want to come up with something else to offer them. So we kind of like to say this is an alternative to the alternative. And as long as there are people going to psychics, I feel like this is a valid place for the church to say, actually, we've got something to offer you. And it's life-giving to you. And they feel the difference. They do know there's a difference. They will say things like, this isn't what I expected. Well, was it good? Yeah, it's really good. We've had people drunk in the Holy Spirit. One lady got completely hammered in the Holy Spirit. She came in with three other friends, an agnostic. Her other friends were keen. She kept saying, I don't believe in any of this stuff. Went on about all her social programs and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we just chatted with her. Well, then she goes over for her treatment. And I think she had a peace treatment. And a peace treatment works like, well, the way that this works best is the Holy Spirit is the one who brings peace. And so in order to kind of say to him, we're ready and willing, I would encourage you to close your eyes and just put out your hands like he's going to give you something. And we'll just quietly invite him to bring his peace. Now, the peace treatment's awesome because they always feel him. So it's a really good treatment if you have someone who doesn't believe in God, or is an agnostic, or of course has anxiety or whatever. Anyway, so this was her because she didn't really believe. Well, anyway, she's sitting there and the team can see the Holy Spirit on her. So you can feel him in this treatment more than the other treatments perhaps. Anywhere. So after, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, they say, okay, so how was that? And she's like. And they're saying, well, what's going on? She's like, there are six of you. How come there are six of you? So everything is double vision. And she said, well, that's just Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. He's nice, isn't he? He's lovely. This feels great. She said, what's going on here? So she's completely drunk. She gets up. She walks over to the other side of the room. And it's not a very big room. And she comes over to the other. She's, I'm so hot. Is anyone else hot in here? A complete, loud, obnoxious drunk without ever having heard the language. Nobody ever told her what drunk in the Holy Spirit was. She didn't know anything about it. She sits down at the table. She stayed for about another 40, 45 minutes. And she's, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And she gets out her bag. And she gets out about 8 or 9 sets of pills. And she says, wait a minute. My arm doesn't hurt. I go for treatment every other day. Now my arm doesn't hurt. Her friend jumps up, starts stomping away, saying, my sciatica's healed. Nobody even prayed for them for healing. They had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So we have some really fun, wild stuff. Sometimes deliverance happens and it's just like, whoa, well, that feels better. Often they cry. The only privacy we would afford them, so I would encourage you when you're setting up for the event, and I'll make sure that you get this book, which is probably twice as big as the one Jerome gave you. And if you're interested, you can have one too. This setup of having everything in one space, which you will do if you have like a cabana or something. If you have a social team, put the chair of the person receiving ministry to the back. So their back is to the social team because that's the only privacy they get. Yeah? And that way, their encounter with God, you know, if they're crying or laughing or whatever. One more story about that. Not everyone says yes, but 95% of the people say yes, either to Jesus or to more of God in their life, depending on what their words or pictures or treatment was. But this one guy, the picture for him was that he had this iron shackle around his neck, and it was actually rubbing on his neck and blah, blah, blah. So they tried to lead him to invite God more into his life, and he said, no, I don't want that. I'm searching, but I'm not ready for that. Now, the team, because they've seen this in action, really blessed me. They said, oh, well, that's okay. We'll just heal your neck. So their terminology had now changed, and their faith had risen up to here. Because now 70% of the time, the person gets healed. So do you have any idea what that does to the people in your church now to pray for their coworkers at work? See, the goal is they take it out. It's not just for that park event and not just for that spirit cafe, but that you begin to grow a culture where people aren't afraid to pray for sick people anymore because they get healed. So anyway, they do that. I didn't know all that was going on until the roundup at the end. Anyway, the guy bolts out the door, which is very rare. They usually stay and have a chat or another coffee or whatever. Bolts out the door, and I'm thinking, I wonder what happened. Don't know. Well, this guy shows up in church 10 days later in our church, and we have a testimony time. I still don't know his name. And he says, I have a testimony. Could I share? And I know the rules about handing the microphone to people you don't know. And I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, what do we do here? He's like, nah, I got it. So I give the guy the mic. And he's like, well, I was here 10 days ago for a spirit cafe. And I just wanted to come back and say, my neck is completely healed. Thank you. Goes and sits down. When's the last time you had a stranger walk in off the street just to say thank you for the testimony for the healing that they got? Still not walking with Jesus, but impacted by that enough to come back. I mean, just lots of fun stories like that. More questions? It's a new age type of healing. I really don't know a whole lot about it because I haven't had time really to check on it, but maybe. Okay. It's a new age alternative to healing, and it's got something to do with reading their auras and channeling energy and that kind of stuff. So it's a healing. It's supposedly physical healing with very little results, no matter how well trained they are. But an alternative accepted by the National Health Service in England anyway. Yep. By the way, the nursing and medical profession is absolutely inundated with occult. So if you work in the nursing profession or medical profession, it's like all the time, isn't it? Okay. Well, I would encourage you just to do your own touch. You know, we were just setting up for the Spirit Cafe launch in Halifax at the Vineyard Church. So Catch the Fire and Vineyard are partnering with us, which is lovely. And they had just painted the stripes on the, you know, the rainbow things on the road. And everybody's a little hot and bothered about that, obviously. And I said, you know what? Let's just not focus on that. Let's just do something about the problem, really. You know, the best defense is a good offensive, I think. And so let's just win souls to Jesus, and let's not get too political and all that stuff. Let's just be about our Father's business, really. It's way more fun than just arguing the politics of stuff.